From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Fellowship of the Spirit. The expression occurs in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. In dealing with this subject, Dr. Cairns defines the term fellowship by linking it to three English words, participation, partnership, and pleasure. As he's been explaining, believers in Jesus Christ participate in the benefits of the Spirit's work. Then there is the element of partnership, which refers to the believers working with God to accomplish His will upon earth. It is a blessed thought that God would associate redeemed sinners with Him in the accomplishment of His work on the earth. Furthermore, we see that this fellowship is to be the up-to-date experience of God's people, and that it should be an ever-deepening and growing experience, which will find its ultimate fulfillment in heaven. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reports on the actions of a prominent actor who seeks to rip Leviticus 18:22 out of the Bible.
Ian McKellen of Lord of the Rings fame recently admitted in an interview with Details magazine that every time he finds a Bible in his hotel room, he tears out the words of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Leviticus 18 and 22 is a passage which condemns sodomy. The verse reads, Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Defending his action, McKellen boldly stated, I'm not proudly defacing the book, but it's a choice between removing that page and throwing away the whole Bible. His actions, which apparently have been copied by others, throw up a number of important issues. Let me mention these. First of all, the Bible certainly does condemn sin, including the sin of sodomy. Society at large has a very strange view of sin. We're living in an age where sin is mocked at and excused. Many will think little of abortion, even though the scripture says, Thou shalt not kill. Many will think little of adultery and unfaithfulness in marriage, even though the scriptures speak against such a thing. Many will think little of the proper observance of the Lord's day, even though the Lord himself has commanded one day in seven to be kept holy. You see, society thinks little of sin. It is presented as a harmless matter. Have you heard someone say, it's just a personal choice? We have the right to live as we please. Why can't we just do what we want? Sin is dismissed. That's how people treat sodomy. While they may not want that for themselves, the view is live and let live. But that is not how God considers sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I read these words, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and 23, the statement is, The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 follows that with these words, The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hebrews chapter 9 reminds me, It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible condemns sin, every sin. Furthermore, it's obvious that the Word of God brings conviction to the heart of the sinner. Why go to the length of tearing out pages of a Bible unless those pages or that passage actually troubled you? But that's the point. These verses do trouble. They do convict. They are there and God the Holy Spirit takes them and applies them to the heart and brings conviction of sin. Prior to his conversion, Saul of Tarsus experienced something similar. Saul was familiar with the Word of God, but he had little time for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Saul despised Christ, but the word of God was brought to his heart with power, and yet instead of obeying the gospel, Saul kicked against the pricks. He was troubled, he was convicted about his life, about his actions, about his behavior, about his sin. How many have felt the pangs of conscience? some word preached years ago, some text of scripture coming to their mind with power, some challenge, some call brought home by the power of the Holy Ghost, and they're troubled. It is said of Felix that as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he trembled. The word had come with power, and Felix was convicted. Moreover, tearing out verses from a Bible in a hotel room does not destroy the Word of God. Ian McKellen may think it's a smart thing to do. And really, who couldn't do it? It's hardly a brave act. Go to a hotel room, tear out a page or two of a Bible. But if he thinks that by doing this he destroys the message of that passage and strikes a blow against God, he is very far mistaken. God's word is forever settled in heaven. His word is incorruptible. And even though puny man may tear a page here or there from that word, God's word still stands, and the sin is still condemned. It's complete foolishness to think otherwise. Furthermore, God will bring to judgment all those who refuse his word and his way of salvation. Ian McKellen may boast of his actions in an interview with an American paper. He may think it was a proper thing to do, and well, what of it? He will not think that if he lives and dies as a sinner. He will face Christ as his judge. And what then will his answer be? Psalm 1 verse 5 has an excellent comment on this. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Rather than try and destroy a page of Scripture, it would be far wiser for him to read the page of Scripture and believe the gospel. Christ exhorts us, repent and believe the gospel. May that be our response to the word of the living God.
Equal us from all himself.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum, located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
I said the second word in regard to the meaning of fellowship of the Spirit was partnership. A couple of well-known verses will show you that the word does have this idea. If you turn to the one chapter epistle of Paul to Philemon, in verse 17 you have that lovely statement of Paul's, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him," that is Onesimus, the runaway slave, "receive him as myself." The word partner is basically this word that we're dealing with in the text, the word for fellowship. Now that's the meaning of the word. Now listen, this is what it is to be in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. We are partners with the Holy Ghost. Can you think of that? We are workers together. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says that we are workers together with God. And that word that is used there is the very same word that Paul uses, for example, in Philippians 4 and 3, where he talks about his fellow laborers. We are fellow laborers with God. We're not only workers together, we are witnesses together with God. Acts 5 and 32, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. You see, believers and the Holy Spirit have a common work and common interests. Now that is not to say that we can do the work of the Holy Ghost. We can't. But it is to say that he has brought us into partnership in vital parts of the work of God. There's a very interesting reference back in the Old Testament, Leviticus 6 and verse 2. You'll find the word fellowship in the English translation. And it's a good word, because the original Hebrew word in the Greek Old Testament is the very word that we're studying this morning. So, this fellowship is literally something deposited in the hand. In other words, it is something held in partnership by various shareholders. And this is the description of the work of God. We have a common interest in it with the Holy Ghost. He has committed to our trust the very work of God. He has privileged us to be associated with him in his work. We're his instruments. That always amazes me. Always amazes me. God could speak and his work and will would be done. God could send an angel, but he uses us. I'm always fascinated when I read of what happened to Cornelius. You remember, Cornelius had a vision. An angel appeared to him. What did the angel say? "If you want to be saved, go for Peter. Send for him." That's a fascinating thing. The Lord did not use an angel to lead Cornelius to Christ. I have no doubt the angel could have done it. In fact, I have no doubt the Lord could have done it without an angel. But he didn't. He sent an angel and he said, "Go for the preacher." He's privileged us to be associated with the Holy Spirit in his work. And thank God he has graciously associated himself with our labor. One of the great encouragements in the work of God is that you're not called to go at your own charges. You're not called to go in your own power. When God calls you into the ministry, he doesn't say, "Now you go and by dint of your education and your oratory and your ability, you'll succeed." Now, of course, you should prepare yourself for the Christian ministry. No doubt that you should get to know the Bible and you should do all the studies that are necessary. But you still need the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody else can take his place. So there's participation, there's partnership. I said then there's pleasure. That's the word that deals with fellowship. Pleasure in the experience of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you another Old Testament reference. It's actually being used to condemn Israel. But in Malachi 2:14, the prophet speaks of a man's wife And literally he describes her, the word in our version is companion. But literally it is one in fellowship. I'm not going to succumb to the temptation to give a sermonette within a sermon on the Christian home and the Christian marriage. But there's an insight into proper relationships. The wife is one in fellowship with her husband. She's his companion. The idea there is of mutual pleasure. Now we are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The idea there is also of mutual pleasure. Some weeks ago we thought of the love of the Spirit. And one aspect of that doctrine is his great love for us. And our love for him. I tell you that for a Christian to seek and to experience the presence and the working of the Holy Spirit as he leads us into the fullness of Christ is the sweetest pleasure on earth. Participation, partnership, and pleasure. Here then is the meaning of the phrase, the fellowship of the Spirit. Can I say that this fellowship is an ever-present blessing to the people of God? Our text in 2 Corinthians 13:14 makes that clear. This is Paul's benediction. The fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you. The Spirit constantly, continually indwells the believer. Thus, Christian experience should always be current and up to date. There's nothing more sickening and saddening than to see a man who's living on the strength of a past experience. I think one of the saddest statements in all the Bible is that statement about Samson. He just bestirred himself. He said, I'll go as at other times. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. How many Samsons there are? People who once were in a place of power with God. People who once were in a place of usefulness to God. But they're living now in the strength of a past experience. They go through the motions, but there's nothing to it. Listen, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is meant to be ever present. It's meant that we should live in a current experience. Way back in the second of these studies, I pointed out a vital basic doctrine about the Holy Spirit, that he is always active. The Holy Spirit is always active. And I tell you, if he is not working in his people the experience of his purity and power, then he must be active to convict us and lead us to repentance and the renewal of the experience of his purity and power. We must have an up-to-date experience. And of course, this tells us also that we must have an ever-deepening and growing experience. The fellowship of the Spirit is never stagnant. This is not something that you just rest still in, at least in one sense. This is something that is ever-deepening and growing. The fullness of God is infinite. You can never have learned all you need to learn of the Lord. You can never know all you need to know of the Lord. You can never feel all you need to feel of the Lord. There's an infinity in our God. Therefore, we must ever be getting deeper and deeper into the knowledge of fellowship with him. Think of the words of the old hymn, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Heaven will be the fullness of our experience. But between here and heaven, there should be an ever increasing depth to the knowledge and enjoyment that the believer has in Christ. 2 Peter 1:5.
add to your faith virtue, and the whole list of things to be added. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an ever-present experience.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.